You're tuning into the Active Mom Podcast with physical therapist, Dr. Carrie Pagliano, a real mom's guide to all things postpartum return to workouts after baby. If you're a postpartum mom, coach, trainer, or physical therapist looking for answers on how to get back to running, CrossFit, yoga, Pilates, HIIT, you name it, without the fear of pelvic floor issues or doing something wrong, this is the podcast for you. Let's start the show. All right. So with COVID came the idea that, hey, maybe we can get help and we can get resources virtually. And so somewhere around the last 3 years, I kind of started following Train Smart, Run Strong, and just totally got sucked in with her great content for runners and strength and exercises and her dog, Kofi, who's adorable. So I invited her on. So Victoria Seckley, welcome to the Active Mom Postpartum Podcast. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome. No, I was saying before we hopped on, I was like, I have no idea how I started following you, but I just got drawn in.
Like, that's the whole point.
it was totally like a little bit of strengthening exercises for runners, and that you kind of showed some of your, you know, the stuff that you offer, and then your dog is just like the most handsome guy, and I'm like, I'm totally sucked in. And so I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, a couple years ago, I don't think anybody would have thought, you know, PTs be doing virtual content. How did they give us the quick down low on how you got from PT in a regular practice, and kind of fill us in on what you're doing now?
Yeah. So I started working in outpatient PT here in Manhattan for about 3 or 4 years before the pandemic hit. So I think I graduated in 2016. That's when I started. I actually started the week before I even knew I passed my boards, because in New York, you can do that whole thing. Anyways, we could talk about that for hours. It's not important. But I started in 2016, worked there for 4 years, and then obviously the pandemic hit. And I think, like a lot of other professions, you quickly realize that there's a virtual side of things that can very easily be implemented into almost every single profession, I would even go to say. And physical therapy specifically, I became very interested in that virtual side. My company went almost entirely virtual. We still had some in person, but I specifically went virtual with the company that I was working for. And I realized that my whole philosophy with physical therapy lies behind the communication that I have with all of my patients. I think that is the most, and I'm not even saying this out of nowhere, but that's the most important aspect of a patient and PT relationship. And I would even go to say any medical provider as well with their clients. So I actually weirdly loved the virtual side of things right off the bat, because I started to see that, you know, first of all, people who thought physical therapy was important from the beginning still recognize the importance, even though we went virtual. And there's this kind of weird thing that happens when you're doing physical therapy from the comfort of your own home. Yeah. You start to rely a little bit more on, like, hey, I'm doing this on my own. I actually don't need her to move my arm for me. I don't need her to specifically tap a muscle somewhere for me to do it. And I started to see that my clients actually became way more likely to do their exercises because they were doing them in the space that they were going to do them anyway. So it carried over really well. And I want to say right from the get-go, I was one of the only PTs like in my clinic who was saying, I love the virtual stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of PTs wanted to get back to the usual thing. And I totally get that. I think that 100% important as well. And it's for certain people. But for me, I really was drawn to the virtual side of things right from the beginning. So I ended up leaving my company in July for other reasons. And I recognized that I wanted to continue to see clients. And I pretty much from there, my virtual PT business was born.
And so why running? Like, give us your running history. Why is that your jam?
I probably should have led with this, but let's
we'll get there
from the beginning. So, running to me is very special. My full background, I actually, was a, a tennis player in college.
Ah.
So that's the reason I'm Canadian. Just fun fact.
Hey.
I'm Canadian, eh? That's the reason I came to the States, is because I played tennis. So I started out, my family's really big into tennis, but I never really loved it. I think it's one of those situations where, you know, all of my family plays. That's what I would do every single day after school. It was kind of not really an option for me. Like, I had to go practice. I had to play tournaments. And when you're, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, and that's when it gets started, by your rebellious years, you know, 13, 14, 15, it can quickly landslide into something that is a little bit more toxic, I want to say. And specifically for me, I found that relationship between me and tennis to become way more toxic than I would have wanted it to. But at that point, I was so far in it. You know, I was traveling with Tennis Canada. All of my friends were from tennis. Like, I barely had any friends from my school.
Yeah.
I remember trying to quit for 1 week, and I was like, what do I do now? Other than, you know, obviously my dad being disappointed, which is something a 15-year-old
another podcast.
It's like the mental health side of things.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, I didn't know what else I was going to do. I had no real other option. So I continued. Don't get me wrong, I loved my time at school, and I met a lot of good friends on the tennis team who I'm still friends with to this day. But the second I graduated college, I put down my tennis racket, and I've only picked it up maybe a couple times when I go home just to play with my dad.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. But yeah, I pretty much distanced myself from that sport. And in the meantime, my mom actually was really big into running when we were growing up. She's the first person to sign up for a half marathon. And when I was young, because I was already doing a lot of pretty competitive tennis stuff, she was like, hey, why don't you sign up and run this half marathon with me? So sounds
okay,
crazy,
Mom.
Not something I would recommend all kids, but you have to also see, like, I was on the tennis court for 3 or 4 hours every day.
Wow.
So running a half marathon to me, and I guess to my parents, oddly enough, just didn't seem like it would be that big of a deal. And I thought as like, hey, this is going to be time that I can spend with my mom. And we trained a little bit. And I ran my first half marathon in Toronto when I was 12. And that is still like my biggest highlights of my entire life. I remember crossing that finish line just being like, this was special. Like, this is something that I did for myself, not like my tennis, right?
Okay.
And something that I thought was really fun. Like, my tennis practices were never fun to me. And that always stuck in my mind. So it became a thing where, you know, throughout my tennis training, I would always kind of supplement a little bit with running. Just again, it wasn't anything competitive that I ever did. I think the next half marathon or the next race I ever ran was in PT school. So probably 10 plus years later after my first half.
That's a big deal as a 12-year-old. My son is almost 12, which I can't even wrap my head around. I can't even imagine, like, my daughter who's 9, she just started doing some 5Ks, and I'm not pushing it because I'm like, I don't want you to hate it. I don't, I want you to do this because we can do it together. And she asked me to do it, and I'm like, great, fine. But I'm like, I am not going to drill you.
No,
I'm not.
No. I was like, actually, you know, not to pat myself on the back, but I was also in the local newspaper for that. And I remember they were like writing about how like, oh, I actually am a tennis player. And I think they quoted me saying like, yeah, I play tennis for my dad, but I do this for myself, or something like that. So
that's
12 years old, I already had that.
You already knew.
And I was like, I don't want to play tennis.
Wow.
Like, this is just not really, and I continued. But so running was always that.
So that stuck with you.
Yeah, the thing that stuck with me, but also the place I could go to that, like, I had control over it. I could do for as long as I wanted to, as little as I wanted to. I could take days off if I wanted to. Like, running was my escape. And, you know, after I graduated college and I went into PT school, it became even more of my escape just from, you know, rigorous classes and things like that. Thankfully, I wasn't playing tennis anymore, but it was really the thing that I think was a huge tool in terms of my mental health as well. Like, it was very helpful to just kind of put in my headphones and go for a run. And I absolutely fell in love with it. So
I hear that a lot. Yeah. And especially, yeah, I think the pandemic kind of brought that out, because it was one of the only things that you could do in the beginning, because, yeah, a lot of things were closed. Yeah. And I hear so many people that didn't run, like you, didn't run as, you know, younger kids, and then have got into like 5Ks or 10Ks or halves or things like that much later in life. I was the opposite of that. I did cross country, I did track, I did Nordic skiing, that sort of thing. It's always been my happy place, but I can totally see how it might become someone else's happy place too.
Yeah.
But that's great that you were able to be like, all right, I've got my space. Where did you come up with the idea of like, okay, I've got this virtual thing that works really well. I've got my skill sets. I love running. Like, what was the impetus to make you come up with your programs?
So it all did start when I was still working at the outpatient PT clinic that I started working at after graduation. And it was about 2, maybe 2.5 years in. It sounds early, but I mean, 2 years of working like 45 hours a week is a long time.
Yeah.
And I came to this crossroads where I just wasn't happy in that role. I didn't really enjoyed a lot, and it was a major time in my life where I was like, is this really what I see myself doing in this setting for the rest of my life? And I think around that time when I was really considering, like, I was, like I told you earlier, I was considering a full career change at that point, because I just didn't see how I could continue. I recognized I had a couple runners coming in at that time, because, you know, my clinic was located right so close to Central Park in Manhattan, so many runners. And I realized that my eyes just lit up every time I got the opportunity to work with a runner. And I physically could not ignore that passion. And I think even some of my coworkers would say to me, like, oh, you always love working with the runners. Like, it was something that was visible, because, like, I would, you know, just be so excited when they came
That's awesome.
I felt like I understood them, I could talk to them. I felt like I had, not just that, but I was able to treat them better for that reason.
Yeah.
So I decided that day, I was like, I want to solidify myself as like the running person in this clinic. We didn't really have, that clinic was more based in like rugby and like different other different types of sports that I don't really know that well.
I don't
understand rugby.
I worked in a dance clinic in another life and it was all ballet. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what the hell this stuff is. Like, give me a runner, I'm good to go. But like,
totally
dance.
That same way with dance for me too. And that's okay. Like, PTs, when you graduate, you're supposed to be like a generalist and treat everyone, and you can, but there's always going to be something that, like, I don't understand the game of rugby. Like, it's not interesting to me. I'm sorry to all the rugby players, but like, wasn't a passion of mine. And, and I was like, this seems like a good opportunity for me. So I took every single running course that was like offered to PTs and everything from that point. And I talked to my boss, and I was like really kind of into it. I was like showing initiative, you know, like, I'm going to understand how to look at the gait pattern, all this kind of stuff. And I have to say, they were so supportive. Like, my boss, my manager, like, you know, everyone was like, do this, like, obviously would help them too. And I really kind of marketed myself as like, and I told the front desk, if a runner calls, put them on my schedule. Yeah. Like, I want to be that person. So that's really where it all started.
I'm sure your patients too were like, I mean, I've always, because it's something I've always done, I'm like, oh, if you're a runner, definitely it's nice to have somebody that understands where you're coming from. And that's how I got into CrossFit too, honestly, was that I was starting to see more lifters. I'm like, I know nothing about this. Learned something about it and then realized, oh crap, I really need to do this for myself because I saw the benefits. And then that's why, because it's just nice to be understood, you know. It's
100%.
Nice to be
to
be like, I mean, you just did you just did a post recently of like, hey, this is my running plan for, you know, 2023. And I know when this airs, I'll have a half marathon coming soon. I've never done one before.
Love
we'll
it.
Go from there.
Yay!
But like, I was watching that. I'm like, oh yeah, that, you know, we're going to take off before the holidays, and then we're going to kind of do this other stuff. And it's just, it's so nice to be around people that like you would hang out with, or you're like, you get me, you understand this. I don't have to convince you. You're not revolted by the fact that I do these things.
Yep.
And I think that's where the virtual community is. Like, the walls are down. You know, your zip code doesn't dictate where you can get resources.
Yeah. 100%.
Which is my favorite. And especially for moms that are, I grew up in upstate New York. So other end of New York of you.
Love it.
My dad,
close to Canada.
Yes, closer to Canada. Yes. My dad used to make this joke that I never understood. He's like, we pay taxes to keep them down there. I'm like, I don't know what that means. But people would always say, where's your accent? And I'm like, I don't have one. Or they'd say, oh, look at a tree. You've never seen this before. I'm like, no, we have 25 acres of trees. But I grew up in a rural area that we did not have, like, it took us a long time to get internet and cable and those sorts of things. And so if we went to any sort of like medical provider, it was 70 miles away, which sounds ridiculous in the state of New York. But now they have better internet now. But like, if you have internet access, literally the world is at your disposal. Yeah. And so, so how do you take that? Now you've got this excitement. You're like, okay, I've got, how do you figure out, like, you know, what do people ask of you who are runners? What do they want? And then how do you kind of also point them towards what they need and maybe like, highlight what's different from what they want and what they need,
which is very different. And I think that it's a lot of that is rooted in, I'll kind of answer this first and then we'll dive into it. But I think a lot of that is rooted in a lot of people don't know what physical therapy is. Like, case in point, they do not know what PT is. Mm. They think PT is massage.
Yes.
They think PT is exercises. Like, it just really, I think there's just a common misunderstanding as to what like true physical therapy is. So I think that that's kind of a weird place to be in this. Now we're moving towards virtual and some people don't really get how PTs can be in that world.
And not for nothing, certain professionals are still supporting that stereotype of you go 3 times a week, you do, you have some, you know, tech who graduated high school counting off reps for you. I can't count. I'm never going to count. Yep. That's not my, But no, there's that. But you're totally right. If that's your image of I have to be there and have somebody stare at me do a number of repetitions, like that's not worth my time.
Exactly. Yeah. I think a lot of that also is just led by insurance companies too. And the whole, I mean, as you and I know better than a lot of people, but like it's just the whole medical system here, like in many countries, not just here.
Right.
I think Canada too is really driven by insurance and like kind of what you can afford and that whole thing. That the insurance model says go to PT 2 to 3 times a week for 6 to 8 weeks. Oh, you hit your 8th week, you can't go anymore. Sorry, you can't run without pain. It doesn't matter. You went enough.
Right.
Like, good luck. You know.
And so, prevention, God love you if you want to, you know, work on any sort of prevention, which honestly is cheaper in the long run. Yeah.
Right. So is that you know, that whole system is broken. I spend a lot of time trying my best to work around it, you know, and do my best with it. But ultimately, there's only so much you can do. And if you, even if you try and go a little bit around it, like they're probably going to come back and like, you know, tell either charge the client more money than they think or like something's going to happen. So it just to me seems like this is weird. Like, I don't, I also don't have to see you 2 to 3 times a week. You can literally try.
Right.
If you actually want to get better, do the exercise on your own and I'll see you in a month. Let's do a tune up. You know, it's like, doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. And then this is where I think moms are the best because
they're busy.
They already come in the door and they're like, look,
I don't have a hot second.
And if you're going to tell me I have to come 3 times a week, we're like, we're done here. And literally like, I'm like, this is the mantra we're going to have. How little do we need to do so no one dies? Like it's mom 101. We can't do all the things, but how little do we need to do? And I'm like, if I'm giving you too much or you can't get to it or whatever, you come back, that's on me. That's not you. That's on me to figure 100%. It out for you. But how many moms are guilted into
doing all the things. Yeah. And then they feel bad about it. It's not them. Like that's
I got enough mom guilt. Yeah. I do that. I'm good. I'm good. I'm up to here. We're good.
Right. Exactly. And you get it. So like, it's a lot easier for you to see that. But like, I think that a lot of people, I mean, moms and just like people who are busy in general. Mm-hmm. I think I remember graduating PT school and it was like, what's the correct number of exercises to give in a home exercise program? Or what's the number of exercises that patients are most likely to do?
Yeah.
The answer was one exercise.
Yeah.
And like that, I mean, okay. So there's something wrong here. Like there's something wrong with how we're giving this information, how much importance we're putting on this. Like we're putting the importance on showing up to the clinic, which then creates this.
That becomes more than the one, to be honest. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. This weird circle of dependence. People think, oh, I can't do this exercise. I can only do it when I'm in my PT and my PT is watching me do it. It's like, you can't move your arm. Like you're mm-hmm. It just, to me, it just seems crazy. Yeah. Like even thinking back to it.
Well, and I think also too, it's, you know, not only just the public, you know, kind of trying to break through that stereotype of what we are, but I think it's us. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah.
We do it to ourselves. And 100%. It cracks me up to see so many clinics that finally, and it took them forever to switch to telehealth or virtual during the pandemic. And then the second things went back to even a remote sense of normal, they got rid of it.
Yep.
They got rid of it.
And insurance stopped paying for it.
There's some that are better. I think some things got extended. But it's for me, like, especially now, because everybody's sick and their kids are diseased and all that other stuff. Like, you know, I'm like, look, we're not canceling. Your kid is vomiting. I know you're fine. We're not going to bring that in here, but let's switch it to telehealth.
Good.
You're not going to skip on you. I don't have to worry about rescheduling.
Right.
Let's just keep going, because how many times have you put yourself on the back burner because of somebody else that's like a rotating door of illness? So that's where I'm like, we do it to ourselves sometimes, how we perceive care. And that's, again, like I was so pumped, you know, just to see more people like you that are like, hey, this is here to stay. There's value to this. And it just so happens that the group of people I work with, I think can really, really benefit from having that option of, I'm going to get great care and great advice no matter where you are in the world. And I can do it on my terms.
I love that. And that's really, that's ultimately the best thing that we can give you as PTs, whether it's in person or not.
Yeah.
That's ultimately the goal. So I completely agree.
Yeah. So let's talk about what they want versus what they need. So when people come looking for, because you've got a couple of things. You do, you know, virtual PT, run virtual coaching, consultations, run coaching. You've also got a member, like kind of a subscription to check into exercises and those sorts of things. Like when people come to you and they're like, all right, this is what I want. What do they usually tell you they want? And then what do you kind of really in the back of your mind know that they need?
Well, there's one thing I like kind of going into the whole conversation we've just been having. A lot of people don't really recognize the like PT side of things. They still think that they have to go in person. So a lot of it is just kind of chatting with them. So that's why I offer a discovery call.
Yeah.
If you're interested at all in working with me, the discovery call is the first place to start, just to so that we can figure out if we're the right fit. Look, there are some things that have to be seen directly. I mean, whether that's PT or like you're going to a medical doctor's office, we can wean that out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like whether
I would say like first 2 minutes.
Yes. So like that can be done very quickly. Yep. I know whether you have to start somewhere else or you can start with me first. So that's number one, but generally people, it's hard to say because most people who I am working with recently do see the value in like the run coaching as well. So I am thankful that a lot of people who are reaching out are seeing this more as like, hey, we're going to work together for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I also have up on my website that if you are signing up for a training plan with me, it's a 3-month minimum, which is scary to some people, but also it's a signal that it's like, hey, if you're not willing to kind of put in the work a little bit and like, it's going to take some time. This is a longer term partnership and it's not seeing me 2 to 3 times a week. It's not any of that kind of stuff. We'll go into that in a second, but like, this is going to take a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So that's already kind of listed on my site. So I think what most people want is this version of hand holding that allows them to almost like, because whoever, you know, runners especially, are very scared and fearful of injuries. Yes. They don't want to have to stop running. That belief that, and again, it goes back to how we've been selling medical care. It's like, I can't do this on my own. I need you to help me through this. And I think a lot of what I do in the first couple conversations that I have with my clients is like, no. You know your body better than I ever will. And I am here to help guide you, and I will help you as best as I can. But ultimately, you have the tools to improve. And so I think that difference between what they want versus what I'm going to offer them becomes very clear. And look, some people aren't ready for that. And then that's in the discovery call. They'll recognize like, nope, I want someone to tap on my glute as I'm doing clamshells. Fine. Like that. I get it. Like maybe there are some people who find that's important. I say from the get-go, like, look, I'm going to give you what I would recommend you do. It's up to you to do it if you want to get better. And on top of that, which I think is the most helpful part of any kind of training plan, and that's, I think, very different than the traditional PT side of things, is I am there with you every step of the way. So you can message me. Yep. You can tell me, you can ask me for modifications. I will go in and check up on you. So like I'm monitoring your progress that you're doing on your own. So it's not like you're completely left to your own devices and like, I'm just gonna try whatever exercise I want. Like I help guide you. I give you the tools. You do them on your own terms, but I'm still, it's the support system and the guidance. Yeah. And like, at the end of the day, I mean, that's also why I have my own run coach.
And I just got one. I just got one. I signed up. We have a local coach here, Danielle Hurt, that I was like, all right, girl, I'm going to put you to work.
Yes, exactly. And that's really, I mean, I almost think that like PTs, yes, we're medical professionals, but a lot of times we're coaches. Like we're helping you. Like we're helping you so get through it. We're holding your hand. We're here for guidance. We're here to help you move things around and be flexible in your life. But you hold the keys. Like I love the clients that I'm all working with, because once they recognize that they can do this on their own, it's such a fun, like amazing discovery to make with them. Yeah. And I think it really paves the way for also just future injuries, you know, like, and I say from the beginning, I can't sit here and tell you that I'm going to prevent injuries from happening for you for the rest of your life. Like pain is going to happen. It's a normal part of life. Yeah. If we didn't feel pain, we wouldn't feel pleasure. Like it is what it is, but guess what? Like you're going to be able to do it. Like you're going to be able to do it on your own. And that's huge. And I think,
and if not, they've got you in their back pocket.
Exactly. If not, I'm here for you. Like I'm here for you. And it's, I think also just simplifying it in that way and helping them understand that, like, yes, medical profession and medical terms can be really scary, but we're talking about your body.
Yeah.
Like, you know that, you know everything about that. And that's where the true strength comes from.
Yeah.
So
it's funny. I was thinking of something as you were talking about, cause I had been in a hospital-based practice for 12 years before working by myself and then a bunch of others before that. And I was trying to think, like, you know, really what truly is that difference and how does that come about? And you really, it's that true relationship. It's that alliance. It's that coaching piece that it's that wall is taken down that you are my provider. I have this appointment time. I will sit in the waiting room until I am summoned. And then there is a process. And not to say that happens in every, you know,
I know, but
clinic or something, but that's, it's very, very medical. Yeah. And I think the walls, the barriers get shifted when one, it's somebody that, you know, you both are interested in the same activity. If I'm a client and I know you have an expertise, but you also practice what you preach, you get what I'm doing. If you're, you know, if we're doing virtual, you see what's going on in the background, you know what my dog is up to. Like it's a very, you know what, I mean, and we talked about this before too. I think we're like, okay, you know, PTs, we'll talk. We're super friendly. I think it's a next level relationship. And I think for me, I wasn't sure because I live and work in, you know, within a 2-block radius. And, yeah. you know, it's the, it's community, but another level of community yeah. because those walls are broken yeah. down, I guess. Yeah. I mean, how, for you, like, what's the biggest difference you see between, you know, when you were in the clinic working with runners and now that you have this, this freedom to kind of morph it how you need to?
Yeah. I, the best example right now, when I was in the clinic working with runners, for the first couple of years, we had a, like a, basically a clothing, you have to wear like business casual as a PT. Mm-hmm. Men had to wear ties. We had to like dress very nicely. We had to wear nice shoes.
Well, at least it wasn't the polo shirt. Okay. And the khakis.
Right. But, I mean, it became, and then we had a uniform where they like made us like, we had to wear the whole like seal and everything. I'm wearing literally sweatpants. And a sweatshirt.
Oh, me
and
too. I'm like,
that's how I talk to people. That's what I'm most comfortable in. Yeah. Like, I truly think, and it's exactly what we talked about before and with the whole virtual piece, the communication aspect and that yeah. personal relationship between you and your client is the most important thing. Because if they don't feel comfortable with you, right. how are they ever going to tell you, like, how they're feeling and what's going on? And I really strive for like a friendship with a lot of my clients that I think is used to be looked down upon a little bit. Like, you're a doctor and you should act like one. I don't know. But I actually saw a study that was like patients or clients connect with their PT, or I think it was chiros as well, more mm-hmm. if the PT or chiro like said swear words or something like that.
There's a few in our profession that would have really taken that one to heart. I'm not saying an appropriately placed F-bomb. Especially like, for moms when we're like, when the F are, you know, schools ever going to be open again?
Like, I'm not going to say it if I worked in the pediatric setting, like that's a whole other thing, but like, we're humans, we're adults. Like, this is, you know, this,
and moms swear too. Trust me.
Exactly. Like that. And it brings that, it's like, I can be comfortable around you. Not, I wouldn't recommend saying swear words every two, you know, sentences, but like, that, yes, I'm a professional. Yes, I have a doctorate. You can call me doctor if you want to, but like, I'm a person. Like, I'm a human. Right. And I think a lot of my Instagram also shows that. Like, that's why I put everything up on my stories too. Like, here's my life.
Well, again, I got drawn in by Kobe, so.
People, like in Manhattan, people don't know who I am. People know who
they
Kobe
know your dog.
Is.
Yes.
Yeah.
happened, oh gosh, probably like a year ago. I was rushing to pick up my kids. I was running late from school and I had my Gooder sunglasses on, which is kind of my thing.
Yeah.
And this woman was like playing in the leaves with her kid. And she's like, I'm really sorry to bother you. She's like, but are you Carrie? And I'm like, wait, what?
And I know. So funny.
I picked up my kids
Instagram.
And on the way back, the woman's like, can I get my picture with you? And my daughter's like, what is going on? Meanwhile, my daughter wants to be a YouTube star, which I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No, but
hey,
like,
there's some good money to be made on YouTube.
we're not there yet.
Yeah. Maybe a couple years.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but I think accessibility, where people are like, this is somebody that I know is a source of good information. This is somebody that I can trust. And that's where I think, you know, there's certain part, but also I can ask you any question. And of course, in my line of work, I get some funky questions. And it's so funny because people are like, so maybe this is TMI, and then I'll get like a sex question or a dildo question or something like that.
Never
or
TMI. Whatever.
And I'm like, honestly, like, you forget what I do for my day job.
This is normal. This is a day-to-day thing.
But
exactly.
It does. I think that also changes the subjective that you get, the information that you get, because I don't know 100%. About you, but like if I'm not comfortable with my provider, I'm far more reserved in
Closed
how
off.
I share the story.
Yep.
100%. And
I feel like I don't want to be judged.
Right.
Like that's ultimately.
Even though you're there to get help, you're absolutely right. And that's for me, and you probably feel this too with, you know, virtual, like you've got about, and for me, it's probably less because we're, you know, we're talking about very intimate things. Like I've got less than 45 seconds to build trust. And to show that I have credibility and that I understand what they're going through. I just had a client recently you know, multiple miscarriages and we're sitting there talking about it. We had one between our kids and, you know, it's not an easy conversation to have, but to also know what it's like to sit in that space. And so those sorts of things. And I think to your point, you know, sharing that part of like who you are, it can't help but play into how you work with people. And I just think it's so much, I don't know, just the barriers are down. You're not expected to be, you know, polo shirt,
exactly.
You know, khakis or you know, counting reps as opposed to talking about your dogs.
And having everyone call you doctor.
Like, right. Occasionally people do. And I'm like, call me whatever you want.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, yeah, exactly. But I'm not going to I'm not going to require it.
No. No. If occasionally I'll pull it out if I'm on the phone, I'm calling a doctor's office and I need to get past the.
Yeah, exactly. That's the time to use it. Yeah.
So for you, kind of, you know, with the moms that you've worked with over the years, like, what do you feel like, kind of, you know, knowing what you know now, like let's go with the two. We won't start with one. We won't go to three. Like, what are the two things that you feel like moms getting back to running, in your experience could benefit from the most?
Oh, I think number one is just developing like a consistent routine. I think with moms, especially, they almost feel like they have to do like super hard exercises to get back to it, all of that kind of stuff. And just that knowledge of like, hey, just start with the basics. Like, let's kind of take it week by week. Let's listen to your body, but let's just at the end of the day, develop some kind of routine that fits best in your day, whether that's, you know, the 5 minutes that you have before you have to take your kids to school or whenever that time is. I want to help you figure out what works best for you. And sometimes it's only once a week and that's okay. You know, it's okay to build on that, but allowing them to understand, allowing all moms and everyone who's busy understand that like, it doesn't have to be like the hardest effort you've ever given, you know, 60 to 90 minutes every single day. I think that is just something that like kind of takes a weight off of their back. And it's like, let's just do what the exercises that you enjoy that you're most likely to do, take 10, 15, 20 minutes out of your day and let's be consistent with it. And
that's why I love your exercise library because it's like, okay, beginner, we're going to do this. Yeah. And we were kind of mentioning before that there's such in like the postpartum space, there's a it's gigantic now. Like it used to be a desert. Now it's gigantic. How much content is out there for, you know, that those first like 8 to 12 weeks, and then it's like the desert. There's nothing. And so that's where like, I think content like yours, it's like not specific to postpartum, but we should be kind of shifting a little bit out of that mindset. Yeah. But hey, beginning strengthening for runners, I got to start with beginner, but guess what? Here's a quick 10 minutes. I can pull it up. I can, and it doesn't matter if I stick with this same program for a couple of weeks because I need to get used to it or I need to progress or whatever. That's why I love that you have it in very kind of manageable bites, but it's very clear. So it almost kind of starts, if people know about it, they know, okay, when I'm done with that postpartum stuff, I can start here. I can start with a beginner and see how that goes.
Exactly. And I think that's important too, from just like the postpartum world in general. First of all, I think a lot of moms don't even recognize that they can get help before that 12-week mark too. So that's number one, which I'm sure you battle on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's like, from a medical perspective, you're kind of thrust into this world like, okay, you can go back to running now.
Right.
Start running. Like, what? You know, that's not how we would treat anyone who's coming out of like an orthopedic surgery. Like, why are we treating moms that way? That doesn't make any sense. So I think it's also that ability to understand like, oh, like I went through something and my body is changing and I can start working on this and like just being consistent with it and getting back to it and not just getting thrust into it and getting no help is and I think that's another struggle too, is like asking for help too when everything, like when you're so busy just doing everything for your kids. And I think that's a huge part of it too, and I that's why I like the custom training plans as well. It's like, I do everything for you. Like, it's all there.
I am such a fan of brainless things.
Yes.
Like, you would
too.
Not. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, not a mom.
I'm like, and it took me a long time. Like, I did not used to go to classes for workouts. I did not use, because I got irritated by people trying to tell me what to do. Go figure. And then I was like, I just need to go in and shut my head off and just do the thing. Yes. But with the stuff that you're talking about, I think there's two realizations that I think are really challenging for postpartum moms who are runners.
Yeah.
One is that the stuff that they do in those early postpartum programs is not necessarily going to prepare them or create the foundation that they need to run. And two is they probably didn't do any strength training before. And so they have no sense. They're like, oh, I was strong in pregnancy. And they think they're strong. And then I run them through a screen and they're like, why am I shaking with every little thing? I did all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you were pregnant for 9 months, and yes, you were strong for a pregnant woman, but you were not strong, return to run without setting yourself up for risk of injury. And then if they've got a history of shin splints or hip issues or all those other things, I'm like, that shit's going to come back. That's going to be the first thing to come back. So we're kind of dealing with what you think you did postpartum isn't enough to get to running, but also you need to do strength training for running that you never did before anyway.
Well, that's the thing too. I think there's a huge misconception with the return to run process for every runner.
Everyone.
You know, every single person who wants to get back to running just assumes that they should just start running again. And I remember working with a couple of clients in like a couple of the first months of me starting my whole business and doing this whole thing and recognizing that people like get so hard on themselves. They're like, and then I took 3 months off of running and I tried to go for a mile and I couldn't do it. And I'm like, a mile's a long time.
Yeah.
Like, a mile's a lot. And they're like, what? And I'm like, start with 2 minutes. Like, let's start there. And it really is, again, this hustle culture, running community idea that like we should be running 10 plus miles all the time.
Yes.
And just that realization that like I had to sit there and be like, a mile is a lot to start from when you haven't done anything for a long time.
Well, and that's also where I see, you know, because there's not a lot of stuff out there. And like moms will start with like a couch to 5K program, or they'll do like 1 minute on, 1 minute off, or just go run. Right. And I'm like, if they've got any symptoms, that's still too much.
Exactly.
It's still too
much. And it really has to be customizable. Like, it can't, it's really hard to just kind of build off of that every single week. Like, you have to listen to your body. You also supplementing it with strength training, which helps things come back. It's like, it's a process. It's a process. And it's okay to be like, okay, I need a little bit of help with this just to kind of get me back on my feet.
And that's typically, I don't know if you had any injuries kind of coming up through. Oh, so you understand then. So I think if you've had an injury, I think correlating that process, it makes sense. People don't think to automatically do that. Like I've come back from FAI surgery. I had SI issues, you know, two pregnancies, that sort of thing. And it's one of those things where if it's a straight orthopedic injury, you're very clear on, oh, I have my rest period, then I have my initial rehab period, and then I gradually build back up. But for some reason, and it's getting better, people don't take that mindset with postpartum. They're like, okay, throw out a small human out of your vagina or your abdomen. And by the way, go do this and look fantastic and wear your skinny jeans and all that crap. And
casual.
It's still, oh my God, the fact that this is still a thing. I'm like, you know,
I know,
my son is almost 12 for Christ's sake. Like, it's, why is it still a thing?
I mean, I can blame a million things on the patriarchy, but this one, and I'm especially going to blame on that, because like, they make it seem like giving birth to a child is like, oh, your body's meant to do it. And yes, it is. But like, it is still a really big deal. And there's a lot of time that you need to recover. Yeah. And like, you know, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that like, you can't just be expected to get back to normal life, get back to running.
No. And you being in New York, New York, you're probably very similar to DC, where you have a lot of career-minded moms that they do great in maternity leave because they've got that time. And the second they go back to work, it's a shit show. And that's why I tell moms up front, I was like, where I am worried about you is when you transition back. I know you think you've got this. Trust me, you don't.
Yeah.
And please, well, let's plan ahead and get the support system so that you're going to have like a dip and it's going to be a little crazy, but you can hop back up on those habits and kind of doing the things and making it work out the way that you envisioned it. But you can't do it without planning ahead at all.
I also think that like a lot of people don't recognize how much stress highlights pain. What I mean? Like just the sheer act of going back to work as a new mother. And you're busy, you now have a child, you have a million things going on, you're
pumping.
Trying to find
just pumping alone.
Simple. Yeah. And not I only still that, have you like wanna, you want to find a part of yourself. You want to go back into yourself as a runner as well. Yeah. And it's like you have now all of a sudden you already had 10 million different things to juggle beforehand. Now you have 20 million different things to juggle beforehand. And it's like, yeah, maybe the first run is gonna feel good, but that type of stress, the life stress, like really, really comes down on you hard. Yeah. So being able to manage all that is not easy.
Well, and to your point too, like having that support and kind of looking ahead. And that's what I try and do with moms where, you know, even if I'm seeing them after their first pregnancy, we talk about subsequent pregnancies and what we're going to do and where the kind of like the kinks are going to be. Like, this is where it's going to get rough. Yeah. And this is where you're going to have to just trust me. I know you. And I think having sat in that seat where I thought I knew what I was doing is all young, soon to be moms do. And you think you know all the things and you don't. Not that I, you know everything, but like, I think that just holding space for somebody to know that they've got some support from you, no matter you're not going to judge them. You're going to be like, hey, we're going into survivor mode because you've had, you know, three different diseases in four different weeks. And we've got to make sure that we want to get back on track and those sorts of things. So, that's why again, stereotypically, I don't think that's when people think of their local hometown, you know, big box physical therapist. I don't think that's what comes up. You know?
No, it's not. It's not. And that's the other thing too, is like people just kind of group us all together. It's like if they have one bad experience in physical therapy, they're like, PT's not for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, not sure that PT maybe wasn't for you.
No. And that's why I think there's just, ideally, you know, people learn that before, but I think you're providing a space for people that, you know they need something a little bit more tailored, something that's a little bit more supportive of what they need. And so I ultimately hope that our profession shifts generally in that direction. But COVID's brought a couple of things that were good. One was delivery margaritas and the other was this. So,
the only two things.
Right?
I completely agree.
All right. So if moms want to find out more about your programs, we can find you on Instagram at Train Smart Run Strong. Is that your website as well? Or are you
trainsmartrunstrong.com? Exactly.
You got to love standard branding. You got to love that. And you've got, and you're in licensed in New York. And then you've also got some coaching, run coaching. You've got some
run coaching and CSCS. Sign,
and you've got some exercise kind of libraries, subscriptions, those sorts of things. So if you're interested in working with Victoria, you can go ahead and find her there. We could talk all day.
Oh, we have a million other topics we haven't covered.
I know, we could do the whole thing. Our dogs could meet, like a whole thing.
So. If only. I love it.
Thank you so much. I feel like I know you because I feel like we've DM so many times. I'm like, hey, how's it going? How are you feeling?
We do. I mean, that's the cool thing about Instagram is we really get to, there's a whole group of us, I feel like, that we just all need to go out for a margarita. Have them shipped.
We'll get it delivered, right? Exactly.
Exactly. Awesome. I love it.
All right. Thanks so much, Victoria, for coming on.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you.
Did you enjoy the podcast? If so, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and tell a friend to do the same. Are you a postpartum mom or postpartum pro wanting to know more about getting back to running after baby? Check out all my free goodies on carriepagliano.com. This podcast represents the opinions of Dr. Carrie Pagliano and her guests to the show. The content should not be taken as medical advice and is for entertainment purposes only. Always consult your healthcare professional for any medical questions.